everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
All right. So
yeah, beautiful weather here in Chicagoland. Not that we want to talk about weather again, like
yeah,
we always do.
We're having like our
But it's November.
Yeah.
And my birthday was yesterday, and it's gorgeous weather. It's like 70 and sunny and beautiful colors.
Happy
and
birthday to... Okay.
I crossed over.
Yeah.
To 51.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell. Well, you're right, because nobody listens to the podcast. Not. Our show gets some airtime.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, hey, I'm proud of my age. I'm glad I've made it this far.
You should be. Lynn is a beautiful 51 and inspiring to all of us.
I try to be healthy.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's like 70
degrees.
And it's
degrees. How your home environment is, too, not using a lot of chemicals and all that kind of stuff, probably. I think it makes a difference.
Well, according to one of the posts we did in a podcast about it, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Was that with Mommy
Beth
Greenest?
Greer?
Yeah. No,
mm-hmm.
Beth Greer. Okay, got it.
Supernatural mom.
All these moms, these green moms. It's so nice.
There's green dads, too.
Exactly. So we have a really excellent show. Of course, we always do, but we mean it. We mean it.
It's fascinating.
I had the opportunity to have this really beautiful young woman named Amanda Cronin into
mm-hmm.
the studio, and we had on the phone one of her mates.
Cohorts.
Yeah. From I Matter Youth Council.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Anne Marie, oh my gosh, can't even find my notes. Anne Marie Manley, because I loved her name, Manly Man. And they were both so freaking cool, adorable. Talk about empowered young women.
That is great to see that in young people. And I was not an empowered young woman when I was 16.
I was not.
I was like, I don't know, I was boy crazy, just worrying about where the next beer was coming from, I think.
I was a hot mess, but that's a different story. So, and for that, you can read my latest post, ha ha ha.
Exactly.
Which actually is about being a hot mess. But anyway, so these young ladies, I Matter Youth is all about empowering young people to take action for the environment, for climate change, for social justice, and you know, it's pretty cool. So
yeah,
she actually interviewed Hillary Clinton, which we didn't even talk
about. I
thought
it was Chelsea Clinton.
I'm sorry. Yes, Chelsea. But she did have a Hillary. They live up in Chappaqua, so
mm-hmm.
you know, they're in the hood. They're in the hood. She and her family.
Oh, okay.
Amanda and her family.
Well, there
her
you go.
Mom, Audrey, very lovely woman, was with us. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, you'll get to hear that later in the show and hear, you know, from some couple of young women what's going on from a youth perspective.
Great.
And keeping with that theme, we also talked to Green Dude Mark Terry, who's a filmmaker.
I just love that guy. He's so great. Everything that he's doing is important.
Well, he is sort of like one of the... He's been doing films for the UN,
mm-hmm.
and in particular for their environmental... I can't remember. It's UNED.org/climatechange. If you go to that page,
I think it's UNEP.
EP, thank you.
He is in Peter.
Yes, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got it. Anyway, he's really working with this new technology called Fusion from Google.
Right.
Which has enabled him to do what's like a non-linear documentary film. You got to listen to hear about this. It is freaking amazing. I went there and checked it out. But he's basically got film input and segments from young people all over the world who are interviewing climate scientists about the problems that they're encountering in their communities. So
yeah, and that's going to be shown at COP21 in Paris.
Well, and it's actually designed specifically for the folks attending the UN so they can access. So if they're talking about something going on in Antarctica, they can click on one of the little red dots on this map.
And brilliant.
And a film comes up and talks about, and it has, you know, a scientist and, you know, talking about whatever one of the issues are. And
that is so great.
It is.
I wish we were going to be going there, but hey, we'll live vicariously through Mark and some of the other people that we know.
Yeah, we will. And, you know, we just want to remind everybody that, you know, we'd love it if you would follow us on social media at The Green Divas on Instagram and Twitter, and, of course, Green Diva Meg and Lynn Hasselberger.
I have so many IDs that it would take too long to list them all out here.
I know, but we'll give them a little bit. So the other thing we want to mention, because people don't really know that we do marketing. We have our own agency, Green Diva Studio, and we do social media for people. We do all kinds of interesting digital media strategy and production. And one of the things we wanted to make sure people knew is that we actually produce podcasts for people. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. If you're interested in producing a podcast, let us know and see if we can help you out.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, oh, and then there's Green Fest. I'm pretty excited about going.
Yeah, you're leaving next Thursday, right?
Yeah, next Thursday I'm out to California, going to San Francisco first, and then... then in December, we're both going to, hopefully we're both going to make it to.
I hope so.
To Portland, where we're going to be doing a panel. But I'm also mentioning it because I had a chance to speak with, and you will hear her on this show, the president of Green Festivals, Corinne Bosler. And, you know, they're really excited about working with us as we are about working with them and teaming up to help make so much more of the new innovations. Isn't that kind of like new innovations, that redundant?
It can be.
Innovations that are, you know, make them more available and accessible to everybody. And, you know, so it's, Green Festivals is a cool thing, and we're pretty excited to be involved. So.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm not going to San Francisco, but you are, but I'm heading to San Diego, and we'll be meeting up after Green Festival.
Yeah, and who's we got there's a couple of our friends down in San Diego and LA that we'll connect with, but
well, hopefully Jerry Jamestone.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
I need to reach out to him again and say, "Hey dude. So let's make this happen."
Anyway, stay tuned. Some great stuff in this show, and you know, reach out to us on social media.
Okay. Peace out.
Green Festival Expo is the longest-running sustainability event in the U.S. and the largest one, with over 250 exhibitors and over 50 inspirational speakers. Dine on delicious local vegan or vegetarian food, take a free yoga class, and more. In San Francisco, November 13th through 15th, and Portland, Oregon, December 11th through 13th. Visit greenfestivals.org.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
All right, so we're on with another one of our favorite Green Dudes. You know, we have a lot of favorite Green Dudes, but this guy is so talented and on the front lines of serious climate change, world global policy. Mark Terry's a filmmaker who is working right now with the Youth Climate Report, compiling, and that, now just bear with me as I get this long introduction in, because it's really interesting and will explain it all. He's the producer of the new interactive multilinear documentary film project for the UN. And it's all kind of getting ready for COP21 in Paris, which I'm a little sad we're not going to. Anyway, Mark, tell us what all this means.
Oh, thanks, Megan. That's, I really appreciate you being or having been on the show again. You guys have always been a great supporter of our work. This year is a little different. As you may remember, we've always produced what's known as a linear documentary. That's a regular film that begins from the start and ends, and you sit in the theater and you watch it.
Right.
But this year, we've created a multilinear documentary project, which means you have various videos all related to climate change research, but they're geographically represented on a map throughout the world. So if you wanted to see what kind of research is being done in Australia or in Antarctica, there is a little pinpoint on these maps that when you click on it, it opens up a video showing a report from a scientist who's working in that area on a specific kind of climate research. And this is a relatively new technology created by Google called Fusion. And I was able to curate a bunch of videos from around the world thanks to the Youth Climate Report Project and create this map, which is right now on two UN websites and being used as prep research for the policymakers attending the COP21 conference in Paris this year.
Yeah, and I just have to chime in that I went to the unep.org/climate change, and if you scroll
right
to the bottom, there it is, the map, and it is absolutely fascinating and fantastic, and you just want to start clicking around, watching these films, learning about the scientists and what particular issues they are working on all over the world. There's so many little red dots to click on.
Yeah, it's actually a great technology, and it makes the information a bit more accessible to the policymakers. Because what a lot of people tend to forget is that people who write policy for the UN are basically politicians that have been elected to the position.
Right.
They're not scientists themselves. And previous to this, to my work with the UN, all they had to go on were these very thick, voluminous texts written by scientists in a language, most people don't quite understand.
Right, right.
So it always took a long time to break down this data and to have them truly understand what they were writing policy about. But with this, particularly with this GIS map, you're able to actually see the research being done in videos showcasing the same scientists that write those big texts.
Yeah.
And so it kind of enhances the comprehension of the entire subject for the policymakers.
It does. I mean, it really does. And it just also puts a face on it, maybe?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, one policymaker said that very thing. You know, it's very nice to have a face attached to the research being done, eh?
Well, because what the videos that I was able to click and just at least see a little bit of, they do. You know, they're not just a scientist talking head. These videos are all about what's happening in this particular region for whatever topic they're talking about, whether it's water conservation or soil mm-hmm. conservation or whatever energy issues people are having. So you see real people on the front lines of these issues, and then the scientists are talking about what their research entails.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I am like so I'm a little bit jealous that I'm not going to Paris.
But well, I don't know if you should feel too jealous of so many people are going to Paris. It's going to be like Copenhagen times 10, you know?
Part of it is, just the thrill of being involved and the energy involved. And I
mm-hmm.
know from a recent interview I did with, his name just evaporated from me, but a gentleman who did an exclusive interview with President Obama about climate change. And one of the key points that he took away was that Obama is all about pushing a strong agenda at COP21 in Paris. So
yeah.
That's exciting. And I think I told you before, I'm not really big on crowds. I get a little wiggy. So I thought, is the first time I want to be in Paris going to want to be with, a million of my best friends? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very exciting this year, too, for a couple of reasons. It's the year that all the countries have agreed to sign some new agreement.
Yeah.
And just having that kind of accord, internationally is very encouraging. But particularly for the West here, us in North America, we have a couple of leaders. We have a new prime minister here in Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of leaders who are very climate sensitive, and they're great ambassadors for the cause. So I think that's really going to help move the new agreement forward in a positive way.
Well, let's just take a second to get excited about your new a lot of people consider this sexy young baby Trudeau thing going on over there. Up there. It's very exciting for a lot of folks because he is very progressive and very mindful of climate.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It was part of his, electoral campaign. He was talking about working on that when the incumbent, Stephen Harper, did not.
Yeah. So now, a lot of folks are concerned that all of the policies that are already being put forth or whatever for COP21 are not enough. Already there's concern that it's not enough, even though it's a big deal that people are getting together and agreeing to do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about what you've learned so far about what you'll be encountering there?
Yeah, well, I think the people feel it's not enough are only looking at the category headings of what's going to be authored in this new agreement. Once we get to the conference and actually start creating the resolutions that fall underneath these category headings, I think you'll find that, you know, all the things that people think are not being covered are actually being covered.
Okay.
So there's a lot more detail that just can't be put on the table yet. But it's all branches off these various categories. You know, like forestry is one of the big things this year. And it's not just, the problem of deforestation, but also the solution of reforestation.
Right.
And then how all those things splinter off into how they're going to be done throughout the various countries of the world. On the surface, it looks like that's not enough. But once we get into it and break it down, then we'll see that, you know, it is enough.
Break it down, folks. Break it down.
Yeah, break it down.
You did it better than I did. So... Now, I would talk to you all day about this stuff, and I know we'll talk again maybe probably after COP21, but you're welcome to let us know if there's something else. But right now, I want to take a minute to applaud and get excited about another project not related to this. You have a play that's going to be produced, and you tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a very different project for me. It's the first theatrical play that I've ever written. You may know that I used to produce a lot of theater. I owned a theater in Toronto, and I produced a show in New York.
I did not know that, and we will talk later. We'll talk later, buddy, because I got some interesting stuff for you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this play is the first one I've written. It's called Interview with a Demon. And maybe this is someone you want to interview on your show in the future.
There you go. Yeah.
But basically the concept is this is the world's first television interview granted by a demon who actually explains what happens to us when we die. So consider him a reporter from the other side who comes back and basically dispels a lot of the cultural myths and religious beliefs that we have about the afterlife.
Interesting.
And that's the idea of the show.
Is it meant to be comedy?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Just checking. Yeah,
it is comedy. Yeah.
Oh my God, I really hope to be able to see it, if not on stage, perhaps in another format.
Well, that's right. You know, we could certainly look at, if you can't make the stage show, there might be a film.
Yeah.
Coming soon. The script has been optioned by a Toronto company called Be Smart Productions, and they were in Cannes last year at the MIPCOM market when they discovered the script and they read it, they loved it, and they optioned it on the spot. So they're actually one of the producers of the stage version, which goes up next week. The other production company is Beach Street Theatre Company, and that's run by the director of the show, Michael Kashmanian. He's a longtime friend of mine, and we've worked together in theater for the past 5 years. So,
well, that's really exciting for you, Mark. Please keep us posted, and we support you in all your endeavors. You're a talented guy, and it's a lot of fun, kind of, you know, watching things unfold for you. As for in many cases, it has to do with all of us, with your climate change work and. Yay.
Well, thank you, Megan. If I can just throw in a website, if anybody is listening to this in Toronto and wants to see the show, just go to the website TheDemonTalks.com.
Okay. I'm going to go there just to check it out anyway.
Cool.
Thanks,
okay, well,
Mark.
Thanks so much. I can appreciate it.
Good luck in Paris, and we will talk soon.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
The numbers are staggering, but they rarely show up on the evening news. It's estimated that 27,000 species of plant and animal life go extinct every year. More about that after this.
There's nothing like hot dogs on the grill, but as a mom, I have to be concerned about quality. That's why I buy Tallgrass Beef Hot Dogs, 100% grass-fed beef, nothing artificial, gluten-free, and voted number one in taste by New York Magazine. If you want to give your family a great-tasting hot dog and one that's good for them, then your choice should be Tallgrass Beef Hot Dogs. Easy to buy online at tallgrassbeef.com or ask for them at your favorite supermarket. Tallgrass Beef Hot Dogs, the healthy alternative. Buy them online at tallgrassbeef.com.
20 years ago, the Earth Summit in Rio resulted in a convention on biodiversity that was aimed at preventing species loss. And it was signed by 193 nations. The United States was not one of them. The convention claims that we are experiencing the greatest mass extinction since the dinosaurs, mostly due to climate change and habitat loss. While there has been some success at keeping species intact by placing them on the endangered list, far more species never have the chance to be protected. Mankind is only one of the strands in the web of life. So what does the future hold for humans if we keep cutting away the rest of the web? I'm Bill Curtis, and Earth Matters.
Green Divas and Dudes are all about creating and supporting a healthy and earth-friendly economy. Listen to this segment to learn about one of our favorite Green Divas or Dudes in business, doing good for people and planet.
Well, this is a special Green Divas in Biz segment. We're getting a chance to talk to Karina Bassler, who I think her name in German is a little bit different, but she's very gracious about that. And I'm not going to try to do it the German way. But she's the president of Green Festivals, which, you know, I just admire Green Festivals. They are such big, amazing events, and they have made such a big difference on so many levels. For those of us that have been doing this for a long time, it's a place to go and learn about new things, find new products and innovations, and just in the event itself is, you know, if you read about it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit, about they're greening the event and helping, I think, set new standards for sustainable, more sustainable events. But anyway, hi, Karina.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm pretty excited because this year I'm going to be both in San Francisco, which I've never been to the San Francisco one, and I'm going to get to go to Portland and do a panel. Yay!
Awesome. Megan, I honestly have to say it's a pleasure, and I feel very honored to be interviewed by you, and we're all very thrilled to have you on site in San Francisco and in Portland, which is or a new show in Oregon.
Yeah, and I'm already, in fact, I was just texting with one of my Portland people and getting the troops alerted, so we're going to have some fun out there. And I just want to say that I spoke at a Washington, D.C. Green Festival. I think back in the day, it was San Francisco and Washington, D.C. primarily, and I think it was 2007. So it's been a while for me. I'm really glad to be getting back to play with y'all.
That's great. Thank you.
So you're relatively new to the Green Festival organization?
Yes, that's actually my second season, so to say. It will be my ninth show to be organized.
Wow.
And, I'm very happy, and I feel very blessed and honored to be able to shape the Green Festival. And we are here in Asheville, North Carolina, with a wonderful team, and we're really thrilled and very excited to be back in San Francisco. San Francisco will be our 14th year in a row. This is where everything started,
yes,
back in 2002 by Green America and Global Exchange. And we're very excited and looking forward.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask something and it just evaporated. But what I didn't tell folks when I was introducing you that you have an amazingly deep and impressive background, and you're also a doctor, I think a PhD doctor, correct?
Yes, marketing and business management, correct.
Well, and your roster includes some really intense international business having to do with sustainability and economy and all kinds of really fascinating things, and it was just such a big paragraph I couldn't even really get into it, but I want people to know that you come to Green Festivals with a whole lot of interesting experience.
Thank you, Megan. I appreciate it. Yes, I was, you know, raised in Germany. I studied in Germany and also in the U.S. I did some executive education courses about social responsibility at Stanford University here in America. And I helped some clients to work with the World Bank in Washington and also launching a nonprofit foundation at the United Nations in New York. And yes, I would say I have a strong background about sustainability, but I also feel very passionate about the environment and about, especially about animals as well.
Yes.
I believe nowadays it's just so important to look at your own responsibility, not just to look at the neighbor, or at the government, and at other countries, and
find
all those reasons why it's not working. But look at yourself. And every morning it's us. It's you who can make the decision what to put on your plate.
Yes.
And I was actually 14 years old when I saw that documentary about farm animals, and I just realized, felt it's just wrong, and I stopped eating meat. And yes, I was the only one in my family that was quite unusual at the time, but I'm pretty strict about it until today. I'm vegetarian for over 20 years and a vegan for 12 years.
Wow.
And it has worked, it worked out great, and I believe it's so easy nowadays. And at the Green Festivals we have so many exciting products and brands, and it's developing almost every day. There are new companies here in the U.S. with better products, and it's even more affordable.
Yeah.
Megan, it's so important for us to not just, showcase a great variety of products. We believe it still needs to be affordable and accessible.
Yeah.
Because our approach is to take green to the next step, and what we mean is, we're actually trying to mainstream green, of course, without greenwashing.
Yes.
So we would like to be inclusive. We would like to make everyone feel welcome at the Green Festival, even if you're not vegan, even if you have never been a vegetarian, and even if you don't want to be a vegetarian.
Right.
But just to show you, it is tasty, and it's so easy. And you can also have a lot of fun, I mean, those products are just amazing. And I have had a lot of friends and people trying it, and then they were thrilled, saying, "Wow, I never thought that it tastes so good, and it makes me feel good." And this is our message to the audience, that we believe people should come on site, come to the Green Festival, San Francisco and Portland, have a good time, test drive, shop, and sample all our products.
Yeah.
And it's not just food, it's home and garden, it's body and health, wellness, lifestyle. We have awesome yoga sessions. You can test drive the latest e-bikes, scooters, electric cars.
Wow.
We have actually everything related to the everyday life.
I just realized as you were talking, I looked down and I'm wearing one of my very favorite organic t-shirts ever that I got from Greenfest in 2007.
Nice. That's awesome.
it's held up remarkably well despite my attempts to stain it,
Nice.
But I remember that for me and doing what I do, I'm always looking for, and we always are and whatever, looking for innovations and creative ways that people are upcycling or reusing products, and there's a lot of companies that are doing that. And, you know, the food is always fun. The food is always fun.
People always love to eat and drink. That won't change.
Well, yeah, and there are so many innovations even with that. Now, I've been vegan and or vegetarian on and off in different phases throughout the last 30 years. And, you know, I make my own nut cheeses, and I've been doing that for, you know, nut milks and stuff. I've been doing that since the beginning. But now, I mean, there are companies doing some amazing things that I don't necessarily have to make my own, even though I still like to do it.
Right.
It's kind of fun to see that there are more and more companies, you know, finding ways to do this and make it accessible for everyone. So you don't even have to be a vegan to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what is what's the biggest challenge you're facing right now with Green Festivals?
Well, you know, if you run shows, if you do events, you know, there are always challenges, even if you're, you know, even if you try to prepare it as best as possible. But, you know, there were always challenges coming up. I always wish to make it bigger and better and to be in more cities at the same time and try to spread our important green message worldwide. This would be the biggest vision, to take Green Festival international. But one of the challenges also is, even though it is so important to go more mainstream, it's also a challenge to gradually, you know, engage more companies. And we would like to encourage companies to be more green, to be more sustainable.
Right.
That's why, you know, we don't want to reject them when they're not 100% green yet. You know, because we want to encourage them. Look, come to the Green Festival, see that there's an audience, see that you actually can make money, because it needs to be profitable for those companies. Someone needs to pay the bill. So that's a challenge. Sometimes it is a balance. You know, where do you say no? You're not that green yet. You have to try much harder. But again, we want to be inclusive and want to encourage those companies that they're going in the right direction.
Well, that's excellent, and that's encouraging to hear that that it is about inclusiveness and doing some outreach and education, perhaps when a company, you know, isn't where they need to be or where they could be, perhaps.
Right. And that's always a great way, Megan, to start a dialogue, you know, put them on a panel, you know, on a stage, you know, let's get together, let's gather together and see what we can find, you know, find for solutions. And I believe just talking about it and addressing it in a constructive way, you know, without criticizing, and again, you know, being inclusive and open up to dialogue, that's a great way to reach the next level.
Well, I'm pretty excited. You know, for all these years and for whatever reason, I've never been to Portland, and everybody's like, you have never been to Portland. Green Diva Meg has never been to Portland. I said, no, I haven't. It's a shame. So I'm pretty excited. And, you know, you guys are going to have a really, really good group of people, and I'm looking forward to being part of that event. And of course, San Francisco, well, that goes without saying, but I will say that San Francisco is almost like the birthplace of so many things in this green and sustainable movement. It's a pretty progressive town, so I'm excited. And I love, just a beautiful city, so it's all fun. Now, will you be at both events?
Yes. Of course, absolutely. I have to be there, and I very much enjoy to be there. So in San Francisco, we will be for the first time at the Cow Palace.
Yes.
It will be November 13, 14, and 15th. So basically, we start on a Friday at noon. It's more like a lighter day for the B2B crowd as well. And then, of course, we were excited on Saturday and Sunday to welcome everyone who's interested in living a green lifestyle, all the families and neighborhoods. That's the first time, again, that we're at the Cow Palace.
Yeah.
And that was also a challenge. It's not easy to find a big venue for us in San Francisco. But we're very, very happy to be there, because this will be the first time that the Cow Palace is actually serving vegan, vegetarian food.
Wow.
And this is also our contribution, Green Festival's contribution, to try to help the Cow Palace as well, to to be more green, to be more sustainable, and hopefully they will continue and feel encouraged and inspired and introduce vegan vegetarian food to other shows they're having at the Cow Palace. I mean, it's one of the most historical buildings in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we're looking forward to being there.
Yeah, I've never been there, so I'm really looking forward to this. And, well, I hopefully will get a chance to meet you and talk to you. I will have some recording equipment on site with me, some mobile recording equipment, so maybe we'll get a few words from you on the show floor at San Francisco.
Absolutely.
And hopefully Portland. And in the meantime, you know, thank you for this work you're doing to help make these, you know, wonderful events available to all of us. And we'll definitely talk to you more as these things progress.
Thank you, Megan. And, you know, we all could not make it happen without people like you, without supporters who so much believe in the green movement and who are helping us as well to spread the message and bringing it out to the people and people who are listening to us.
Aww.
So I would like to thank you personally, and I can't wait to meet you on site in San Francisco. And I would like to encourage all our listeners to go to our website, greenfestivals.org, and check out the latest news.
Thank you, thank you. Yes. All right. Stay tuned, folks.
Thank you, Megan.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about this Green Divas and Dudes in Business segment, and find even more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections.
What we're trying to do is to get you engaged in urban problems today. But we also want you to have glimpses of what they're going to be like in 40 years when you're at the height of your productive career.
That's what Donald Stump tells his students. He's director of St. Louis University's MICA program, which seeks solutions for urban poverty. Stump says we're in the midst of a mass migration from rural areas to cities. So tomorrow's leaders will need to provide a huge urban population with fresh food, while limiting the global warming emissions generated by transport and refrigeration. So St. Louis University and three nearby secondary schools have partnered to build a greenhouse, a living laboratory which will also provide fresh food to those in need. The plans call for solar power, geothermal heating and cooling, and aquaponics, a way to grow vegetables and raise fish together. As they garden, students will learn about sustainable urban agriculture and solutions to the challenges they expect to face as adults.
They sense that food security, that environmental rationality and temperance, holding back so we don't destroy the natural world around us, are going to be the great challenges of their generation.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Oh, this is a fun show. I feel really honored to be bringing to you today two young, amazing women who are really on the front lines of their generation in helping educate us and raise awareness about environmental issues, climate change, all this good stuff. So we have in the studio, Amanda Cronin, who is from Chappaqua, New York.
Yep.
She's 16 years old, and she is on the Youth Council of I Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
And then we have on the phone joining us from cool Austin, Texas, Anne Marie Manley, who is also 16 and also a member of the Youth Council for I Matter. So real quick, before we get too far, let's explain what I Matter is and how it became.
Right. Well, This is Amanda. So iMatter is it was founded and started in 2007 by 13-year-old Alec Lors when he watched the movie An Inconvenient Truth, and he was really inspired by it and led him to do all this research. And the next day at school, he was so excited, so he wanted to tell his friends all about it. And one of his friends didn't believe him. He thought, oh, climate change is bogus. There's no such thing. And so that even compelled him even more. And he started to give talks on this and founded iMatter as an organization. Fast forward to today, we've just launched our national campaign, iMatter Now, and we have tons of members now, and we've grown significantly, and Anne-Marie will talk about that in a little bit, our campaign right now.
Cool.
But, yeah, we've really grown since 2007.
Nice, and I'm busy taking a picture of Amanda while we talk, so if I sound distracted, I am! So tell people how they can find iMatter. Is there a website?
We just revamped our website, and I think it's
iMatter. Really cool.
Yeah, it looks great. It's iMatterYouth.org.
Okay.
I'm almost positive. Yes, iMatterYouth.org, and it looks beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait to go look at it now. I haven't been there in a while, but I have been there. So now, Anne-Marie, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in iMatter and just a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, in middle school, I got really passionate about the environment. I read this book called, like, Kids Versus Global Warming or something, and it inspired me. It made me realize that, like, not only was this a really important issue, but also I could do something about it as a youth. So I got a bunch of my friends together, and we started an organization called Planet Heal. That didn't really work out so well. It ended after that because of the lack of motivation, and we didn't really know how to organize ourselves. But then I did a lot of research, and I found iMatter. I think there was a lawsuit in the newspaper, actually, and I was really intrigued. So
good for you. I just want to encourage you and chime in that, you know, so many successful entrepreneurs or people who are out in the world have been involved in many organizations and companies that didn't make it the first time, myself included. I had a magazine once and it turned into Green Divas. So it all matters. It all matters. Well, it does, because it adds up.
Now that Planet Heal didn't work out, but I'm still left with the motivation that it gave me. So it's worth something.
Well, it does. Everything takes you to the next step.
Absolutely.
So you've been really, how do I put it, like empowered. iMatter has sort of given you the power to really feel like you have a voice in this.
Oh, absolutely. iMatter totally empowers youth to have a voice and that voice matters.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that, I think thinking back, it was a long time ago. But back when I was a young person, I remember that, you know, it was a pervasive feeling of, like, you know, not being able to be heard, not feeling like you had a matter. You can't vote, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm digging this. So, Amanda, tell us a bit about your story and your involvement.
Right. Well, my story and how I got involved is a little similar to Alex in that I, too, a couple years ago watched An Inconvenient Truth and was so shocked by the crazy statistics of climate change and was inspired immediately after I watched the movie. I got a Twitter account, follow me at Amanda in Action, and I started following all these influencers in the environmental movement and activists, and I really just wanted to immerse myself and get involved as much as possible. And even years before that, I really got into the climate movement from a more food perspective because I read The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan, who's one of the great food writers, food activists of our time. And what his book basically taught me was that the U.S. is an oil-dependent agricultural system, and a huge part of our national emissions is from all these agricultural endeavors and cows.
Yeah.
So that led me to today being a vegetarian and wanting to reduce my carbon footprint as much as possible. And also, I've been involved with my local farmers markets, and I have my own food blog called Gourmanda. And I just was really inspired through the food part of it. And so how I got involved with iMatter was that my mother was friends with Larry Kraft, who is executive director, and she connected me with him, and we met last September, right before the big People's Climate March in New York City. And since then, we've just been growing and growing, and great things have been happening.
So, yeah, shout out to Larry Kraft, who we have talked to in the past. And, you know, he's the one that put us all together for this. And so thank you, Larry.
Woo, go Larry!
And you are up in Chappaqua, New York. Did you go down to the People's Climate March?
Absolutely, yeah.
I was on an airplane that day.
It was a great, great time.
Was it?
It was so inspiring, especially for me. This was the first big... I felt like I was part of something huge. Yeah. There were so many people there.
A lot of energy, huh?
And it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
So you're a foodie. I was going to ask you if you were a vegetarian or vegan, and you answered that question.
Yes.
Because, of course, you know... I'm personally, that's one of my passions, and when it comes to climate change, I focus a lot on food.
Yeah.
I like food.
Knowing what we know, how can we continue eating meat? It's just crazy. But something that I'm interested also is crickets and bugs are a great source of protein.
And they
have a significantly smaller, literally and figuratively, footprint, carbon footprint. So I've been looking into that and researching entomophagy.
When it comes to water conservation.
Absolutely.
You know, meat and other forms of protein tend to use a tremendous amount of water per gallon to make a pound or an ounce or whatever.
Yes.
And crickets, you know, I might even have some cricket bars here. Have you tried them?
I've never tried a bar, but I've made myself pancakes.
Yeah, because the flour,
cricket
right?
Flour, yeah. No, I've done a bunch with that.
Foodie adventuring.
Ooh.
So
back to iMatter.
Yeah, Anne Marie, tell me what's the most interesting thing you've done with iMatter so far?
Well, I just think I've only been part of iMatter since January after they redid their organization and started focusing on this new campaign. But that in itself has been like a really cool experience, and it's been really profound. One of my jobs within the organization is to interview people who are interested in being in iMatter, and it's not much of an interview. It's more of just a orientation. This is what we are. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And that's just really cool because then I get to see all of the different kinds of people who want to be in the organization, and I just really like it.
Now, is the organization primarily young people from the United States, or is this global?
Yeah, we're starting national, although one of our members was living in Lyon, France for a time.
Nice.
So that was cool. But yeah, we're starting in the U.S.
Now, Anne Marie, you're going to tell us a little bit about this new campaign that's coming up.
Yeah, so this new campaign, it's focusing on cities, and because it starts at the grassroots level, so we're focusing on cities, and we're demanding that these cities become free of fossil fuels by 2040 or sooner, which is really important. It's what we need, because we're going to need to have to eliminate 6% of our carbon emissions per year to do this.
Yeah,
and it's a lot, but it needs to happen because it's the future of the human race that's at stake here. And this is climate science based off of the work of Dr. Jim Hansen and his team, and we really need to do this to protect our future and to protect everything that we know and love. So we're going to hold the adults and leaders in our cities who make these kinds of decisions accountable, because we need to do this, and we're going to do what needs to have been done years ago. So we're collecting signatures on this thing called the Declaration of Independence from Fossil Fuels to show how many people actually care about this, which is a lot more than it seems sometimes.
Sign me up.
Petition that anyone can go sign that's live on our website right now.
So it's imatter.org?
It's imatteryouth.org, yes.
Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, and then we're also, to hold our cities accountable, we have a city climate report card that you can fill out. And Anne-Marie, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. This report card has different sections for each aspect of climate elimination, of carbon elimination that cities need to focus on. And it grades the cities based on how well they're doing and what kinds of plan they have to eliminate fossil fuel emissions. And with this report card, we're going to show the cities, this is how you're doing. And then at the city level, if they choose to do something about this, we're going to applaud them and make sure that they follow through with it. And also, if they don't follow through with it, then we're going to make a big fuss about it.
Yeah. You're on notice, city that's failing at their carbon emissions. We're going to social media, cloud on you.
Absolutely.
So do you both, just out of curiosity, both do a lot of social media?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's
part of my life.
And do you find, have you found, we're actually doing a panel about this in Portland, Oregon, about how social media and new media can change the world. Have you found it as a tool useful?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
I mean, we, right now, iMatter is just starting our social media campaign. We have a Facebook account, an Instagram account. We're really starting to do more with that, but just personal experience, I love Instagram, Facebook. I use them daily.
I'll have to get your accounts because I'm going to take
them. And as I said, Twitter. Twitter, especially for something like this, that's an activist movement where you can follow to the second what's going on and what news stories are being circulated. It's a great platform.
How about you, Anne-Marie?
Yes, I don't really use Twitter, although I've been thinking about getting one, mainly because of iMatter, actually. But
get one.
I use Instagram and Facebook, and I really like them. It's a really good way of just, I don't know, it feels kind of like a community almost.
Yeah, it
and
does.
And that's really, it's really good.
All right. Well, so if you could tell whoever's listening, and we do have some young people, but it's probably more older people right now. Not old, but older.
We'll get our friends.
So what would you say to our listeners? What do you want them to know about iMatter?
That we're an awesome new organization that's our goal is to get cities and local communities to reduce their carbon footprint using this Declaration of Independence and the City Climate Report Card. And older people, tell your kids and your nieces and your nephews to get involved, because this is a movement that's only going to happen if we have a lot of kid power behind it.
I was just going to say that all youth need to stand up and notice that this is their future that's at stake, and the leaders need to notice that it's the future of the human race that's at stake. And so we just want to all stand up as like a race and realize that we matter.
Yeah, you do. Now, tell me, is there like an age cutoff? Could I be part of iMatter Youth?
Well, our youth council membership cutoff is 18, so you missed that by a little.
A couple of years.
But you could definitely be, I mean, we have mentors and advisors because we're always looking for people so inspiring like you to help us along.
Well, aren't you sweet and flattering? Now, from what I understand, I think we're going to start doing a regular iMatter Youth Report, like at least monthly, have a segment where we hear from you and other iMatter Youth Council members.
We'll be back.
So, yeah, and hopefully you will be back. Thank you both so much for stepping up. And I know you got busy lives as students and all the things that cool young people do, but this is big and this is important, and we're very grateful for the work you're doing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, folks, go check out imatteryouth.org. Look for Amanda Cronin and Anne-Marie Manley and find out more how you can get involved.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.